Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everyone. This is Evangelist Mark McDonald. Here today in Bible Prophecy Ministry. Want to welcome to our show to look at current global events in light of biblical prophecy. And we truly care about our Lord Jesus. Well, folks, it is great to be back with you once again on the air. This is Evangelist August Rosado, and it is another Saturday here in the New England area. And I want to welcome each and every one of you as you tune in every single week as we look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy and the next prophetic event on God's calendar that we call the rapture of the church. I look forward to being with you every single Saturday, whether we're here at home in Rhode Island or if we're somewhere across the United States or even halfway across the world, for that matter. We enjoy coming to you every single week and looking at a current news event that I believe has prophetic implications to it, that are set of the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. And so I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in every single week. You can watch these programs on YouTube. We record the radio broadcast every single week and upload them to YouTube. You can find me on YouTube, simply August Rosado. We have many YouTube videos up on there. And so you can check that out, and you can watch the program or just simply go to Blog Talk Radio and listen to us every single week. You can go to my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org, and you can click on the live link that will take you right to the show, the live show, and or you can go to my website and listen to the archive. If you miss the live version, you can listen to the the archive version of the show, and we upload those on our website every single week. While you're there at my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org, sign up for our newsletter. It goes out every single week, and so just type in your email address. We'll get it, and you'll start receiving our newsletters every week. You can follow us, see what's going on in the ministry, where we're going to be at next, possibly a church near you. And so I just hope that you decide to take advantage of our free weekly email newsletter. Follow me on the social networks, folks. I am on Facebook, simply August Rosado. And so you can follow me on Facebook. Send me a Facebook friend request. I love taking Facebook friend requests. I don't accept those who like to cause controversy or trying to start something. Don't accept it. Don't even bother sending me a request. But if you want to follow our ministry, keep in touch with us. What's going on? Maybe you might have a Bible prophecy question. Then please, by all means, send me a Facebook friend request. Simply August Rosado. You can also follow me on Twitter, August Rosado, or simply Bible _ prophecy. And you could follow me on Twitter. I post all news stories on Twitter, as well as heads up for the radio broadcast and other things that are going on in the ministry. And you can follow me on LinkedIn, simply Evangelist August Rosado, and you can follow me there. We would love to have you follow us on all three of those social networks. We have a trip leaving for Israel, Bible Prophecy Tour to Israel, March 14th through the 24th. We'd love to invite you to come with us. If you'd like to come, then send me an email if you have any questions. August, todayinbibleprophecy @gmail.com. Or you can call my tour operator, Eyal Evan, E-Y-A-L, Eyal Evan, E-D-A-N, Eyal Evan, toll-free, 1-888-300-3038. 1-888-300-3038. Let Eyal know that you would like to come with us to Israel for the Bible Prophecy Tour of the Holy Land, March 14th through the 24th. We also included Petra in southern Jordan as part of that package. We have a really good, decent price, including two countries for the price of one, and we would love to have you join us on the Bible Prophecy Tour of the Holy Land. Now, tomorrow, January the 17th, that's Sunday, I am going to be preaching in New Hampshire at Tri-State Baptist Church. Tri-State Baptist Church, that is pastored by Brother John Barnes. And he is pastoring that church, and I am looking forward to being there and preaching Sunday morning Sunday school, 10 a.m., as well as Sunday morning service, 11 a.m., and a special 2:30 p.m. afternoon service, preaching all three of those services. They are located in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, not Rhode Island. There's a Portsmouth, Rhode Island, and there's a Portsmouth, New Hampshire. I will be in the Portsmouth, New Hampshire. So they are located in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And so if you live anywhere in that area, I will be at Tri-State Baptist Church. They are in a location where there used to be a former drive-in school there, and they're in that location there right now, and but they're already outgrowing that place from what I've been told. And so why don't you come on out, visit us. I'd love to meet you. Tri-State Baptist Church, Portsmouth, New Hampshire. I don't have the address in front of me right now, but go to my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. All the information is right there. Their website is right there, and you can click it on, get all that information. And would love. Now, what I want to do today is talk about on this radio show, anti-Semitism, the motivation for the Jews' return back to the land of Israel. Eretz Israel, as they say in Hebrew, the land of Israel. Jewish people have been making aliyah back to Israel. And I'm going to explain what aliyah means in just a few moments. But Jews all over the world have been making aliyah back to the land of Israel. And that is in fulfillment, folks, of Bible prophecy. But since the founding of modern-day Zionism, back in the 1800s, Jews have been making their way from nations all over the world back to the land of Israel. Anti-Semitism, Jewish prejudice, and hatred have motivated the Jews to come back home to the land of their ancestors, to the land of their forefathers, to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land of Israel. Now, folks, I mean, anti-Semitism finds its ugly roots in Satan. And, folks, we're talking going all the way back to the time of the book of Genesis. Now, anti-Semitism can be defined as hostility to or prejudice against the Jewish people. Satan is the father of anti-Semitism. Satan is the father of all hatred. Satan is the father of all murder, opposite of truth. Jesus described Satan in John chapter 8, verse number 44. He says, "Hear of your father the devil, and the lust of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Anti-Semitism finds its roots in Satan, going all the way back to the book of Genesis. Now, folks, in the last days in which we live, this hostility is going to increase even more and more against Israel and the Jewish people. But this should not surprise you and I, who are students of Bible prophecy. This hatred, as I said, dates back all the way to the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. In Genesis 3, God says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This goes all the way back to Genesis 3:15, and Satan's goal of annihilating the Jewish people off the face of the earth. It's the goal of the Arab nations to wipe the Jewish people off the face of the earth. Unfortunately, anti-Semitism has reared its ugly head in the church today, because you have many Reformed theologians out there who do not see Israel as a fulfillment of Bible prophecy and believe that all the promises that God made to the Jews have been transferred over to the church. So when it talks about Israel in the Bible, it doesn't really mean Israel. When it talks about the Jews in the Bible, it really doesn't mean the Jews. We call that allegorization, spiritualizing the Bible, to make it fit whatever form of doctrine that they have. Their, not interpretation, but their interpolation. Their interpolation, what they believe. It is saying not what the Bible says, but what they believe. They're putting their own ideas into the text. That's not exegeting the text. That's eisegeting the text. They're putting their own thoughts and their own ideas into the text. So Israel doesn't mean Israel. The Jews doesn't mean the Jews. It means something else. Spiritualizing and allegorizing the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, is extremely, extremely dangerous. And as I said, this dates all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15. God said that he would one day put enmity between thee and the woman, between Satan's seed and the seed of the woman. It shall bruise thy head. In other words, the first coming of Israel's Messiah would bruise the head of the serpent. But at the same time, it would bruise the heel of the Messiah. And that happened at the crucifixion of Jesus, the Jewish Messiah of Israel. Remember Psalm 22, they pierced my hands and my feet, or his heel. Satan is all too familiar with that prophecy and will do anything he can to thwart the promises of God from coming to pass. How can a person destroy Israel? I preached that message a while ago at a church, and people were concerned because the title of my message was How to Destroy Israel. The Bible gives us the answer, the formula, if you will, on how to destroy Israel. And folks, all one has to do is go to Jeremiah chapter number 31, verses 35 through 37. If you have your Bibles, why don't we go there quickly to Jeremiah chapter number 31. And I want you to notice something right here. Jeremiah 31, verses 35 to 37. And this is what the Word of God says. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divided the sea, when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if the heaven above can be measured, and the foundation of the earth search out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. Now, that in the Bible, to destroy Israel, to abrogate all the covenant promises that God made to Israel. God says, if you can do this, I will break all my promises to Israel. I will break my covenant with the Jewish people. Verse 35 says, God established those very ordinances of the sun and the moon. That's Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 16. God gave the greater light to rule the day, and that would be the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night. And he said, chapter 1 and verse number 16, God established that very ordinance. God established the luminaries of the sky. Now, the definition of ordinances is simply this: a piece of legislation enacted by a municipal authority. But in this case, it's a higher authority. A higher authority above all earthly and human authority. God said he established the greater light, the sun, the lesser light, the moon, the stars, also as luminaries in the sky. He placed those ordinances there. Now, in verse 36, God said, if those ordinances cease from before him, if you can stop those ordinances as a mortal man, God said, if you can do that, then Israel will cease from being a nation before me forever. That word forever is the Hebrew word olam, eternally. God says, if you can break those ordinances, I will break my promises to Israel. I will break my covenant with the Jewish people. Now, we also find in Jeremiah 31 and verse number 37, God issues that challenge to man, just as he issued that same challenge to Job. Remember in Job chapter 38 and verse number 4, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you, Job? Where were you when I put the sun up there? Where were you when I put the moon up there? Where were you when I put all the stars in the sky? Job, where were you when I put the foundations of the earth in place? Job, can you tell me? Where was you? God is issuing that same challenge to man. He's issuing that challenge by saying, can you tell me where I set the foundations of the earth at? Can you tell me how I can just put the earth in outer space, hanging upon nothing? Can you tell me how I did that? So God is issuing that challenge to man, just like he did with Job. Just as God challenged Job, he challenges man to measure the foundation of the earth and to measure below the earth. God says simply this: if you can break those ordinances, I will break my promises to Israel. Israel will cease being a nation from before me. God reiterates this challenge to those who hate Israel. In Jeremiah, again, if you have your Bibles, Jeremiah 33, just another chapter over. Jeremiah 33, beginning in verse number 19. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day, and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season. Then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. Verse 22, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David, my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. That's a serious, folks, that is a serious, serious challenge right there. God says he challenges those to break the covenant of the sun and the moon. Thus saith the Lord, if he can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season. God said, if you can break that covenant, I'll break my promise. If you can stop the sun from coming up, if you can stop the moon from coming up, I'll break my promises to Israel. God says, if you can measure the foundations of the earth and the heavens, I'll abrogate my promise to King David. And God made a promise to King David that goes all the way back to the Davidic covenant. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16. God told David, thy throne and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established. King David said he will always have a man to sit upon his throne. And we know in the future who is going to keep that promise. That's going to be Jesus the Messiah. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, that's political, shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called, and I love the Hebrew, Haleos, Wonderful, Counselor, El Gibor, the Mighty God, Adi Ad, the Everlasting Father, Tsar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7 says this, of the increase of his government and kingdom, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David shall he order it and establish it with justice and judgment from henceforth, even forever and ever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. God has promises to keep. He will keep those promises to King David. And here's one of the promises right here, folks, in verse number 20. Thus saith the Lord, if he can break my covenant of the day, verse 21 rather, then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne. By the way, Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33 says, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Daniel 2:44 tells us that his kingdom shall have no end. God has promises to keep. And for all of those Reformed theologians, so-called, out there, if you believe God has replaced Israel with the church, you have another thing coming. Because you have Jeremiah 31 to contend with, and you have Jeremiah 33 to contend with, as well as Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 10, and Romans chapter number 11. God has promises to keep. Romans 3:4 says, let God be true, but every man a liar. God says that if you can measure the foundations of the earth and the heavens, I'll abrogate my promises to David. So, folks, what is the point? What is God telling you and I? It's impossible for him to break his promises to Israel, just as it's impossible for God to break his promises to you and I. that consists of the church. If God can break his promises to Israel, then you and I have no assurance that he'll keep his promises to us. No assurance whatsoever. Verse 22 says this, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David, my servant, and the Levites that minister of me. It's impossible for man to number the stars and to count every grain of sand that is on the seashore. Folks, that is absolutely impossible. God says, you want me to break my promises to Israel? Do you want me to transfer all the promises I made to the Jews over to the church? Then here's how you can do it. Go on the beach and count every single grain of sand on the shore. God says, if you can give me an accurate number, I'll break my promises to Israel. Look up into the sky. Count all the stars. If you can count all the stars in the sky and give me an accurate number, I'll break my promises to Israel. What's the point? What is God trying to tell you and I? That possible for God to break his promises to the Jewish people. The church is not Israel, and Israel is not the church. God has a plan for Israel that's distinct from the plan that he has for the church. And folks, due to anti-Semitism, Jews have been making aliyah to the state of Israel since 1897. Now, that Hebrew word aliyah means to go up. When Christians visit the land of Israel, you land at Ben-Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv, go through customs, get your baggage, and then you get in your tour bus, and then you drive up to Jerusalem. You are driving 2,700 feet above sea level. 2,700 feet. Jerusalem is on a hill, surrounded by hills. So when you go to Jerusalem, you are making aliyah. You are going up to Jerusalem. When Jesus and his disciples were leaving Galilee in the north to go to Jerusalem in the south, he says, we go up, aliyah, we go up to Jerusalem. State of Israel, the government of Israel today, uses the biblical word aliyah to refer to Jewish immigration back to the land of Israel. And since the rebirth, or I should say the birth, of modern-day Zionism in 1897, beginning with the father of modern-day Zionism, Theodor Herzl, Jews have been making aliyah to the land of Israel from all over the world since 1897. And, folks, that is in fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 66. Verses 7 and 8, where God tells Isaiah, shall a nation be born in one day? What nation do you know that was born in one day? Only one nation in history fulfilled that promise. The state of Israel, May the 14th, 1948. Israel's first prime minister, David Ben-Gurion, holding the Israeli constitution in his hand, right there at Independence Hall, in Tel Aviv, Israel. My good friend Dr. Todd Baker and I were just there this past June. We did a Bible teaching right there at Independence Hall, where prophecy was fulfilled in one day. When he looked into that mic and into those cameras, and he declared to the world the rebirth of the state of Israel as foretold by the Jewish prophets. 30 minutes, five Arab states attack. And despite that attack, Israel's still there. They're still in the land. Why? Because God has promised us to keep. Four major wars that Israel has fought against the might of the Arab world, yet Israel, against all odds, defeated those Arab nations, and they're still in their own homeland. Why? God told the Jewish prophet Amos 9:15, I will plant them upon their own land. and they shall no more be uprooted out of the land which I have given them, saith the Lord. Folks, read the Bible and ignore the nonsense that's being propagated by Reformed theologians that are out there today. Take the Bible for its plain sense, literal meaning. If the plain sense makes sense, don't look for any other sense, or you will end up with nonsense. Based on Jeremiah chapter 16, Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah chapter number 31, God says that he would bring his Jews, his chosen people, the apple of his eye. Based on those chapters, God said that he will one day reach into the north to bring his people back into the land. Now, we know that Russia is due north of the state of Israel. And since then, 1.3 million Jews made Aliyah to Israel from Russia. In keeping with those prophecies of Jeremiah 16, Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah chapter number 31, that God says, I will reach up into the north, I will bring my people back down into their own homeland. Folks, that's exactly what is going on right now. God has kept his promise. Jews are still making Aliyah from Russia. Jews are making Aliyah from nations all over the world. Then God says that, based on Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 10, God said that he would reach down into the south to bring his people from the south to make Aliyah back into the north. The south mentioned in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 10 will be Ethiopia. And folks, we're talking about Ethiopian Jews. Now, that was fulfilled May 24, 1991. 15,000 Ethiopian Jews from Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, standby, waiting for the greatest airlift in aviation history. The Israeli government, on the Shabbat, the Sabbath, had 42 747 jumbo aircraft. One aircraft could seat 500 people, but for this flight, all the seats were taken out, and they roughly got in about 1,087 Ethiopian Jews. They ripped all the seats out of those 42 aircraft. They flew from Ben-Gurion International Airport all the way south to Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. They picked up those 15,000 Ethiopian Jews and took them back to Israel. Seven babies were born on that flight, automatic Israeli citizenship. And yet God told Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 10, that I will reach in the south, I will bring my suppliants, my people from Ethiopia, back into the land of Israel. They made Aliyah. Folks, God has promises to keep. And now you have Ethiopian Jews in the land, Jews from Russia, in the land, Jews from all over the world are making Aliyah back to the land of Israel. Because Isaiah chapter 11, verses 10 through 12, God says, I will regather the Jews the second time. We'll bring them back into the land. They were dispersed out of the land in the Babylonian invasion of Jerusalem in 586 B.C., and then again in 70 A.D. by the Romans when they destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. The Jews were dispersed to the four corners of the earth. God said, I will bring them back again. I will bring them back the second time into the land of Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. Why? Folks, God has promises to keep. Now, of course, because of anti-Semitism and recent attacks on Jews in Europe, 9,880 Jews made Aliyah to Israel in 2015. And folks, 8,000 of that 9,800 were from France alone. There is so much anti-Semitism going on in France. Jews are being attacked in France. It's happening all over Europe, but France is the worst. And now Jews are making Aliyah back to the land of their forefathers, back to the land of the Bible. Again, the father of modern-day Zionism, Theodor Herzl, said because of all of his anti-Semitism, even back then in the 1800s, as a journalist from Vienna covering the Dreyfus affair, this Jew who was falsely accused by the French government, of F. Theodor Herzl said, it's time for our people to have their own homeland. He never lived to see the day, May 14th, 1948, the rebirth of the Jewish state of Israel. And recently, the Times of Israel just broke a story of European Jews making Aliyah to Israel due to all of these anti-Semitic attacks. But folks, based on Bible prophecy, we know that after the rapture of the church, Satan will make one last attempt to annihilate the Jewish people, thwart the promises of God, and make sure that Genesis 3:15 does not come into fruition, is not 100% completely fulfilled. And if you go quickly in Revelation chapter number 12, the Word of God says this, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. That's not the Antichrist, that's Satan, who empowers the Antichrist. Seven heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Satan will attempt to destroy the woman once and for all. By the way, the woman is Israel. The woman is not the church. The woman is Israel. We know this based on Isaiah chapter 54, verses 5 and 6, and Ezekiel 16, 7 through 14. This is Israel. It's the Jewish people. It's not the Virgin Mary. It's the Jewish people. It is Israel. Even those in the church, they try to say that this is the rapture. The woman is the church, and her being called to God is a rapture. Come on, folks, stop spiritualizing the Bible to death. I mean, and probably saying, well, what are you getting all upset about? I mean, it's just, it's amazing to me how Christians can, you know, take the Word of God out of context and spiritualizing it rather than taking it for its plain sense, literal meaning. You got to remember something. The church did not bring forth Jesus Christ. He brought forth the church. The woman here is Israel. The child being caught up to God is Jesus' ascension back into heaven based on Acts chapter 1 and verse number 9. Look at the parallel verses, folks. Parallel passages. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. We call this inductive Bible study. Use it. Inductive Bible study. You will see that prophecy fits like a hand. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. That's Jesus Christ. That's not the church. He rules the nations in the future with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God. That would be his ascension from the Mount of Olives and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, that they shall feed her there 1,260 days. That's 1,260 days. Satan will attempt during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period to wipe the Jews out and try to thwart the promises of God. 1,260 days. That's the Jewish lunar calendar. You can't fit those number of days into the Christian Gregorian calendar that has a 365-day year with 30-31-day months. It doesn't fit. But the Jewish lunar calendar does, meaning it has everything to do with the Jews and nothing to do with the church. The Jewish lunar calendar has 360 days with 30-day months. And we know the tribulation period is 7 years long. So if you take 360 days on the Jewish lunar calendar, 360 times 7, that's 2,520 days. 2,520 days, that's a 7-year period. That is 7 years. If you take 2,520 days divided by 2, it comes out to 1,260. Just as we read right here in Revelation chapter number 12. The Christian Gregorian calendar, that's a fit in there, folks. If you take 365 days times 7, you come up with 2,555 days. Our calendar adds 35 days to the tribulation period. That's a fit. If you take 2,555 days divided by 2, you come up with 1,277. It adds 17 days. It, folks, it simply does not fit. It has everything to do with the Jews and nothing to do with the church. God will intervene and save the Jewish remnant and will shelter them for the last 42 months or the 1,260 days of the last half of the tribulation period based on Revelation 12:6 and Revelation 12 and verse number 14. It says, and the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness into a place where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. Again, that would be the last 3.5 years or 1,260 days. Jesus will return, destroy these satanic forces, and establish his kingdom for 1,000 years. He will keep his promises. Under the theocracy and rule of the Lord Jesus, the Jews will have 10 times the amount of land than what they have now. Jews only possess 10% of the land right now. And there are 38 passages in the Bible that speak of Israel's original borders. Under the rule of the Lord Jesus in the millennial kingdom, they will possess 10 times that original amount. Under the theocracy and rule of the Lord Jesus, they will have 10 times the amount. And, of course, we know that Israel's original land grant starts at the Nile River, that would be Egypt today, half of Egypt, and then going all the way north onto the Euphrates River, the northeastern boundary of the promised land of Israel, okay? Then it drops southeast, taking in all of Syria, all of Jordan, 3/4 of Iraq, all of Kuwait. Then it takes a bend around the Persian Gulf for the Red Sea, taking in 3/4 of Saudi Arabia. So God promised the Jewish people half of Egypt, all of Israel, all of Lebanon, all of Syria, all of Jordan, 3/4 of Iraq, all of Kuwait, 4/4 of Saudi Arabia. That all belongs to the Jews. They don't possess that now, but they will in the millennial kingdom reign of the Lord Jesus to come. Folks, with the increase of anti-Semitism and attacks on Jews in Europe and Jews making Aliyah back to the land reminds us that Bible prophecy will indeed be fulfilled. We know the Jewish people have to be back in the land, but they're back in unbelief in preparation for the final week of Daniel's 70th week of prophecy to transpire. But we know the next prophetic event on God's calendar will be the rapture of the church of the living God. And folks, Jesus could come at any moment. If you don't know him as your personal Savior, today is the day of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. Repent of your sins. Trust in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. Believe in he died for your sins, shed his blood for you, was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and that one day he's coming back in power and great glory. Ask him to come into your heart to be your Lord and personal Savior. He will save you, and he will give you new life. Well, folks, until next week, this is Arthur McDonald with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministry saying, keep looking up. The Lord Jesus is indeed coming soon. Pray for the peace of your room. Shalom.